Mag-umpisa po tayo ng mas maaga para makakaya po tayo ng ice cream mamaya. Okay po. Magsimula na po tayo sa ating second service. Kunin po natin ating hymnal. Punta po tayo sa Tagalog na ating hymnal. Punta po tayo sa page number 87. Page number 87. Pagpapala niya ay bilangin mo. Count your blessing po ito sa English po. Hymn number 87. Pagpapala niya ay bilangin mo. Say amen po. Pagdito na po. Awitin po natin first stanza hanggang last stanza po. First stanza po tayo. Say amen po. Pagdito na. First stanza po tayo. Kung bagyo sa buhay mo'y dumadalaw. First stanza, ready? Sing. Kung bagyo sa buhay mo'y dumadalaw. Amen. Awit po muli tayo ng Tagalog. Punta po tayo sa page number 95. Page number 95. Si Kristo'y Kanlungan. A shelter in the time of storm po ito. Okay, first stanza po tayo. Si Kristo ating kanlungan. First stanza, ready? Sing. Si Kristo ating kanlungan.
Sama ko kawat para welcome to Verity Baptist Church, and let's just go through a couple things. First, let's
count up any salvations from this past week that I'm unaware of. Any salvations to report, anybody? Nine? All right. Whoops. Five? All right. Three? All right. Four? All right. Four? All right. Anybody else? Anybody I missed? All right, so let's see. 14, 17, 25 extra salvations. Great work, everybody. And, of course, we'll have soul winning this afternoon. As I mentioned in the first announcements, soul winning might be a little bit later because it is Mother's Day, a little bit more time for fellowship. But also, we have the ice cream arriving at 1 p.m. So basically, right at 1, we're going to have a lot of ice cream. We need you to eat your lunch and eat the ice cream, okay? Ice cream's not going to last, you know. Our fridge is only so big. Okay, so we need you to eat that here today. But great work, everybody. And at this time, we're actually going to have our ladies' choir perform one more time for us.
Amen daw po tayo sa pagkakaloob.
One that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I compare thee, O my love, to a company of horses and Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with the chains of gold. We'll make thee borders of gold with studs of silver, while the king sitteth at its table. My spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of mirrors, my well-beloved, unto me. It shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of campfire in the vineyards of Engedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. Blessed be of God's word, let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day you've given to us. I pray, Lord, that you would bless, Lord, this day and bless the preaching and the preacher of your word, Lord, this day. Give us good weather for our fellowship and soul winning later on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, we are in Song of Solomon, chapter 1. And the name of the sermon is Beauty Tips from the Word of God. Beauty Tips from the Word of God. And when I'm saying beauty tips, I am referring to the outward appearance. I'm saying being physically attractive. Now, this sermon is not like a Mother's Day sermon because I already preached a Mother's Day sermon, but it does kind of fit along with Mother's Day. And so I do want you to realize a couple things. Number one, when it comes to the word beauty, and the Bible reads, I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. So what it's saying in these verses is that this woman is black, referring to having darker skin, but it's not because she was born that way. What it's saying is, because the sun hath looked upon me. So what this woman is saying is, you know what, my skin is darkened because I've been out in the sun. And when she said, look not upon me, what you're seeing is she's a little bit embarrassed about her appearance. She's like, I don't want you to look at me because I don't feel attractive right now, is basically what she's saying in verse number 6. And honestly, the reason why I'm preaching this sermon is because this is how people can feel sometimes, especially with ladies. As guys in general, I don't think we care as much about our appearance, right? I think everybody would agree that guys in general don't care as much about what they look like. If you say that I'm Pongy, it really doesn't bother me much, okay? But it's kind of different for a lady, and we're seeing this wisdom from the Bible because we see a woman that's married, and she's down on her appearance. You never see the husband in Song of Solomon being like, oh, I feel ugly today, right? But that's kind of what you're seeing in Song of Solomon 1, and it's kind of given us wisdom that sometimes women can feel this way, especially after they get married, because as you get older, things change, right? Things are different, especially if you've had several kids. I mean, you get older, you don't have as much time for yourself, and as we said, I mean, just things are different. So I want to preach this sermon to try to encourage people to see what beauty actually is according to the Word of God. But let's keep going with these verses. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Now, realize the Song of Solomon is poetic language. When she's saying, I've been the keeper of the vineyard, she's referring to a literal vineyard, a real vineyard. But mine own vineyard, referring to her body, have I not kept. She's not saying to a vineyard that she owns out in the field. She's saying, my body I have not kept. The sun has darkened me, look not upon me. It's using poetic language, but what she's saying is, I've worked so hard outdoors that basically my personal appearance is being destroyed and I'm not able to keep mine own vineyard, okay? Verse number 7,
Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? So here's a woman who's telling her husband, I'm down on my appearance right now, and basically I miss you, you know, I want to know where you are, okay? In the Bible, in Song of Solomon, you'll see the word spouse mentioned many times, so they are married. They're not dating, they're actually married, okay? Verse number 8, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. So he tells his wife in verse 8, O thou fairest among women, saying you are the most beautiful woman that there is, okay? And look, we're getting wisdom as guys. Whether you realize it or not, women can get down on their appearance according to the Bible, and we ought to tell our wives we think they're beautiful, right? That's what we see Solomon doing, O thou fairest among women. And it might be something that as guys we don't think of all the time because, as I said, I don't really think whether or not I look attractive or not. It's not something that kind of runs through my mind. So we think, well, we assume our wives don't think about that. But the reality is wives can feel down on their appearance, the Bible's showing us. So we need to make sure we're telling our wives even if it's not fresh in our minds, okay? Verse number 9, I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Now, you know, this verse, there's a lot of poetic language and a lot of animals are brought up and there are analogies to explain stuff. And as I believe this is Pharaoh's daughter. So she grew up around the horses that Pharaoh had. And of course, Pharaoh's going to have the best horses, right? So what he's saying to his wife is, you're the best. It's using poetic language. Now, be careful, guys, when you compliment your wives. You're like the greatest E-piece from Thailand, right? It's like, you got to be careful with how you do your compliments, okay? You got to use some wisdom here, okay? But that's all that's being said in verse 9. He's saying, you're the best because she understands that she grew up around Pharaoh's horses. And, you know, a horse that's taken care of is considered a very beautiful animal. He's just saying, you're the best, okay? Verse 10, thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. So what you're seeing is that she feels down on her appearance, and he is complimenting her on her appearance. And as guys, we should make it a point to do that to our wives and let them. You know, you say, well, my wife knows she's beautiful, so I don't need to tell her. No, actually, you should tell her. That's what the Bible shows us in Song of Solomon chapter 1, okay? Now, turn in your Bible to 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16. But I also want to preach this sermon because I think a lot of people are confused about what the Bible teaches to actually be physically attractive, physically beautiful. And I am talking about physically being beautiful. I'm not talking about symbolically or the inward beauty. I'm talking about physically being beautiful. And I believe the Bible has the answers to all things. Don't we believe that? The Word of God has the answers to all things. And so if we're trying to figure out what the answer is according to reality, what's the truth? Well, we look at what the Bible says. And believe it or not, the first thing that will make you physically attractive according to the Bible is to be spiritual. To be a godly person is the number one thing to being physically attractive. It's mentioned over and over and over in the Bible. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 29. Give unto the Lord, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. Go to Psalm 29. Psalm 29. Psalm 29. Psalm 29. And as you're turning there, I'll read you from 2 Chronicles where it says, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And I'm only picking certain verses out, but there's a lot of verses that mention something very similar. The beauty of holiness, the beauty of holiness, the beauty of holiness. Psalm 29, verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, the beauty of holiness. Go to Isaiah 52. The Bible says in Psalm 96, as you're turning to Isaiah 52, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth. So the Bible's saying being beautiful, being spiritual, being holy, being godly, it mentions it over and over and over again. Now, some of you right now are thinking, well, yeah, but that's like spiritually. It's not actual physical beauty. I disagree with you about that, and I'm going to prove my point here. The Bible says many times the beauty of holiness, the beauty of holiness, the beauty of holiness. And the reality is, your outward beauty is not just about your outward beauty, but the inward beauty ends up being a part of that as well in terms of how you look on the outside. Just a basic example, right? You meet someone, first time, as I said during the first sermon, they physically look attractive, a lady, but then they start cursing. It's like, ugh. Right? It's very unbecoming to a woman. Is that not true? You meet someone, and physically they might look attractive, but then you hear what's coming out of their mouth, and they're an ungodly and profane person. It's like you will never find that person attractive again. That's the truth. And on the contrary is true as well. Maybe you meet someone, and the first time you see them, they don't catch your eye necessarily, but if they're a godly person, you know what? It shines through. I'll give you an example. We go soul winning, and look, I'm giving you a guy's perspective, obviously. What I'm saying is, when we have the ladies at our church going soul winning, wearing a dress with a Bible in their hands, it's like, I think, what a beautiful group of ladies. I mean, they look very beautiful, bringing a Bible, having a dress, and I'm talking about physical beauty. And look, when you're married, you look at things differently. You know, I'm not looking for someone that I'm going to end up with, but I'm saying, when I look at the ladies at our church that are going out soul winning, you think, what a group of beautiful women. Because being holy, you see that in a person when they're holy. And it becomes part of their physical appearance. And the Bible says the beauty of holiness. Right. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And the Bible says how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet. Okay? And the Bible says that someone who's going soul winning, which this is what it's a reference to, their feet are beautiful. Not saying what they're doing is beautiful, but actually the body part, the feet, are actually beautiful. Now, in general, I don't think you would think of feet being the most beautiful body part. Especially if you're out soul winning for hours and hours and you're getting blisters on your feet. It doesn't make them physically look attractive, but here's the thing. Let's say you got a group of people that go soul winning on a soul winning marathon, and they get tired, they get a sunburn, they get blisters, they're worn out. It doesn't make them look unattractive. It actually, when you're a spiritual person, you think it makes them actually look more attractive because you see the work they're doing and the fact they're spiritual, and that becomes part of their looks. And look, this is what the Bible teaches. And here's the thing. There's no question that in the eyes of God, he says how beautiful are the feet. But realize something, that God is light. And as you draw closer to the light, you start seeing things the same way God does. And for those of you that are drawing close to the light, you know what I'm saying is true. When people are godly, it makes them more attractive. When people are ungodly, it makes them unattractive. All these celebrities that are out there that are really famous, I'm sorry, but after I've heard them say one thing, blaspheming God or promoting the LGBT, it's just like, I'm sorry, but to me, they don't physically look attractive. They just look unattractive. My wife and I have had conversations before where she'll mention someone. I'm like, yeah, you know what? That person's unattractive to me. She's like, you're just saying that because of their personality. I was like, well, yeah, it's probably true. But when I look at them, I just see pungit because they're ungodly. They're wicked. And it's like, I can't separate the two. And here's the thing, God says, when I look at someone, the feet are beautiful. Why? Because of the work they're doing. You say, well, Brother Stuckey, I get what you're saying, but you're just using a play on words. This is in the eyes of God. We'll go to Song of Solomon chapter 7. Song of Solomon chapter 7. Song of Solomon chapter 7. I mean, your perspective just changes on things once you draw close to God. You just see things differently than you used to. But the reality is, I got saved at 18, and you know what? I understood this principle before I was saved as well. Right? When I was 18 years old, you'd meet someone, and maybe they looked attractive or whatever, but they were just like a really vulgar person or whatever. It's like they became unattractive very quickly. And the opposite was true as well. So look, even in an unsaved state, I could understand this principle that if someone had a terrible personality, just an obnoxiously bad person, it's like, I don't understand how someone could physically find them attractive. When you look at them, it just kind of repulses you when someone's an ungodly person, right? That's reality, and that's what the Bible teaches. But I'm just telling you, that's my perspective. When I see ungodly people, to me, they just don't look like attractive people. Song of Solomon 7, verse 1. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. Now, when he says how beautiful are thy feet with shoes, if you don't pay attention or think about what's being said, it almost sounds like your feet are beautiful as long as they're covered up, right? But don't take off those shoes, okay? But that's not what's being said. Just think about this logically. You know what? When you're at your house relaxing, you generally don't wear shoes. When you go to sleep at night, I'm assuming you probably don't wear shoes. I don't wear shoes. I don't wear a suit or a tie. I don't wear shoes either when I go to sleep at night. I'm assuming that you're probably the same way. Maybe slippers if it's really cold or whatever, but, you know, probably not, right? And what he's saying here is this, that he looks at his wife who, throughout the Song of Solomon, she's a hard worker. And what he's saying is he physically finds her attractive. He comments on her feet being attractive, but the indication is wearing shoes, she's always working and being busy, right? She's keeping herself busy. And to him, it actually becomes physically attractive to him because she is a godly person and a hardworking person. It physically becomes attractive to his eyes. That's what the Bible teaches. Now turn in your Bible to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Look, all I'm telling you is this. If somebody was like a big promoter of abortion, I would never physically find that person attractive. Never. I mean, they might be like some, you know, model or whatever, really famous, but if I hear them say, you know, like, I support, you know, babies being, I support a mom's right to choose, right? If they say they support murder, I'm sorry, when I look at them, I just cannot separate the two. If they say, well, you know what, I just believe in the LGBT and everything, we ought to just let them get married, give them all the same rights, blah, 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 I'm sorry, I would never find that person attractive again. Amen. If someone has a terrible personality, it bleeds into their actual physical appearance, and you can't separate the two. And look, it's not just me, this is what God is saying. And as you draw close to the light, that's just the way you see things. When someone's an ungodly person, it makes them unattractive. But you can't tell me that when the ladies at our church go soul winning, looking nice. I mean, look, when we just had the ladies choir, I just think, man, what a beautiful bunch of ladies. Ladies that love the Lord, are serving God. It's like, that's the way I feel. That's what it looks like to my eyes. And look, that's the truth. If you love God, that's the way you're going to feel. It actually physically makes someone attractive if they love God. That's the truth. And I'm presuming it's the same for guys, but obviously I'm a guy, so it's like it's a little bit different, right? But if there's a group of guys going soul winning, I'm sure the ladies think, man, what a great group of guys. A woman would be lucky to be with a guy like that. He loves God. He served God. He's nice dressed. Beautiful words coming out of his mouth, right? That is the way you're going to feel if you love God. In actual physical beauty, the first thing you see is actually being spiritual, right? Number one, point one is being spiritual. Number two is sinning less. Now, when I'm saying to sin less, I am not saying to be spiritual. What I'm saying is that sin actually affects your physical appearance. Drinking alcohol makes you ugly. Doing drugs makes you ugly. All sin actually affects your physical appearance. So when I'm saying sinning less, I'm saying that if you live a sinful life, there's going to be a bad result on the outside. That's what the Bible teaches. Isaiah 28, verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. A drunkard is someone that's a drunk, drinking a lot of alcohol, lasing, right? The drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Now, here's the thing. When a flower is in full bloom, it looks very beautiful, doesn't it? Right? You know, I'm not a big flower person as a guy, but I could say that, you know, when a flower's in full bloom, if that's the right terminology, I think, well, what a beautiful flower. But once that flower reaches its peak and it starts to get older, all of a sudden you can see a glimpse of that beauty, but it's kind of like a fading beauty. Like a fading flower, the Bible's saying. Where basically you can tell this flower used to be beautiful, but it's not really anymore. And what the Bible's saying, someone who drinks alcohol, what happens? Their physical appearance, their beauty just kind of fades. And maybe you look at them and say, well, I could see that this person used to be an attractive person, but now, because of all the alcohol they've drank, all the drugs that they've done, all the cigarettes that they've smoked, it actually makes them unattractive. This is what the Bible teaches in Isaiah 28, verse 1. And look, when you live a godly life, it will actually keep your physical appearance. But living a sinful life ages your body and destroys your body, and your beauty is as a fading flower. Look, sometimes I see pictures of people that were from my hometown that are my age, and they lived a very, the phrase, like, they lived a very hard life, it looks like, because they look very old for their age, you know, drinking and drugs. I mean, some of them look old enough to be my mother and father. I'm just thinking, man, what happened to them? But I know what happened to them. It's called drinking alcohol and doing drugs. It makes you look old. And in general, if you live a clean life, you're actually going to retain your looks for a longer period of time because your body doesn't age as fast as a person living a sinful life. And the Bible directly mentions it with alcohol, but I believe it's true with any sin. Sin actually ages you. And so look, it actually affects your physical appearance when you live an ungodly life. Notice what it says in verse 2. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with a hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden underfoot. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower. Once again, the beauty is as a fading flower. And the Bible's saying you drink alcohol, what happens is it fades your beauty, it fades your looks. It's reality. And you know what? I knew someone from Sacramento, and this is someone who came to church a few times, and they were homeless. And in America, being homeless is a little bit different than here. In America, if you're homeless, you're pretty much a drug addict. There's really no exceptions to that. And basically, this was a woman. She ended up actually getting saved, and she came to church a few times, but didn't really last. But when you looked at this woman, you could tell that this woman was at one time in her life a very beautiful woman. You could tell, but there's only a small remnant. It's like a flower, right? A flower, as it starts to fade and get old, you can see sometimes this flower used to be very beautiful, but it's not really now. Right? I'm saying that to tell you that when people live a sinful life, it's going to cause their physical appearance to be destroyed. It's going to cause them to be more unattractive, less attractive because of the sinful life that they live. So look, if you want to be a beautiful person, whether you're a guy or a girl, be an attractive person, be spiritual, and sin less, because sin will destroy your appearance. Now, turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel 25. I mean, look, in many ways, our body operates like a machine. When you really get down to the details, it's really like a machine on the inside. And the reality is, to keep your machine going well, you got to provide it with the right things. Right? Drugs and alcohol will destroy that machine. I mean, if you take care of an actual physical machine, then it's going to look nice, but if you don't take care of it, it's going to look old. It's the same thing with our bodies. If you take care of your body, if you're committing all these sins, it's destroying it. It's going to make it look bad on the outside. Not just you're tearing it up on the inside, it's going to end up being true on the outside as well. Point number one, being spiritual. Point two, sinning less. Point three, having a sunny personality, or a friendly and happy personality. Being in a good mood, having a sunny personality. 1 Samuel 25, verse 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. Now countenance would be like your face and your outward appearance. And it says she has a beautiful countenance, but it compares her to her husband. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. So here's a woman of a good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but her husband is just like this wicked guy. And what the Bible's showing you with this comparison is that because Abigail was the opposite of being churlish, being in a bad mood all the time, she's in a good mood. The result is a beautiful countenance. She looks more attractive. It makes her attractive. Isn't it true that when you meet people that are in a good mood and happy, they look more attractive? Versus someone who's always like, you know, I can't believe this. Always bitter, complaining, in a bad mood. That makes you unattractive when you do that. When you have a bad attitude, when you have the opposite of a sunny person, when you got a rainy personality or whatever, or a winter personality, I don't know, right? The opposite of a sunny personality, it makes you unattractive. But when someone's in a good mood, it makes them more attractive. So look, if you want to be more attractive, be in a good mood. Be friendly. Be happy. If you're always depressed and complaining and murmuring and bitter, it will make you look physically unattractive. Now, here's the thing, you know, with a lot of these, it's not something you think about. But when I see what the Bible says, I'm like, that actually makes sense. Because when you meet people that have a very friendly personality, it actually makes them look more attractive in your eyes. Right? They look more attractive. Whereas if someone's always complaining in a bad mood, makes them unattractive. It's very unappealing, right? Turn your Bible to Song of Solomon 4. Song of Solomon chapter 4. Song of Solomon 4. Song of Solomon chapter 4. There's this guy at a church I went to in West Virginia. And, you know, because here's the other thing about when you meet someone with a friendly personality and they're happy, it puts you in a good mood to be around people that are in a good mood. Right? When you're around people that are bitter and complaining and upset all the time, it makes you be in a bad mood, right? But if you're around people that are friendly and in a good mood, it just instantly makes you feel better. So part of why I think they look more attractive when they have a good personality, when they're friendly and happy, the sunny personality, is it puts you in a good mood, right? But this guy at my old church in West Virginia, and he was an older guy, and you know what? I'd go to church, and you know, sometimes you go to church and you're tired or whatever, exhausted, or maybe you're not in the best of moods. This guy was always in a great mood. Always. And you get there, and he's like, "Hey, Brother Stuckey, how you doing today?" And I was like, "Man, I'm good now." It's like that shot of electricity that goes through your system, like, "Man, I feel good now," right? And it's just like, that's the truth though. When you're around people that are in a good mood, it puts you in a better mood. But it actually makes them look more attractive when they have a sunny personality versus someone who's complaining and upset all the time. It's very unattractive when someone's always in a bad mood. But when someone's in a good mood, they just look more attractive, right? That's what we see in the Bible, but it makes sense. Song of Solomon 4, verse 3. It says, "Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely." Now, here's the thing. When he says thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, it's linked with thy speech being comely. Comely meaning beautiful, meaning the words coming out of her mouth are beautiful. I personally think it could mean she's also wearing lipstick, but I'm not dogmatic. When it says her lips are like scarlet, it might be a dual application. But the link is really with your speech being beautiful, your speech being comely. The idea is she's in a good mood and beautiful things are coming out of her mouth. And when he looked at his wife's lips, they look attractive because of the fact what's coming out of her mouth is actually beautiful. But here's the thing. If there's someone and what's coming out of their mouth is using the Lord's name in vain and just complaining and upset, the exact opposite of a meek and quiet spirit, when you look at that person, I'm sorry, those lips will not be attractive because of their attitude. That's reality. He looks at his wife and says, "You know what? I look at you and you're beautiful." And part of that is what's coming out of her mouth. It's not just the lips themselves, but because the speech is comely, he looks at his wife and he just says, "Man, how beautiful my wife is." And look, he is referring to the physical appearance. What I'm trying to show you, the physical appearance is not just about what you're born with. It's actually, are you spiritual? Do you have a sunny personality? Are you committing a lot of sins? That affects your physical appearance. That's what the Bible teaches. Now turn in your Bible to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And let me just say this, that if you think of like famous actresses that are out there, I honestly don't really know who are the famous actresses today, but whoever the famous actresses are, you know what? They might seem very attractive to you in the movie or whatever. It's fake. It's not real life. Pretty much all the actors and actresses are a bunch of wicked people that hate God. That's a fact. I mean, if you ever look up any information about them, they're not godly people. Say, why is that? Well, I mean, because Satan's the god of this world. I'm sorry, but the last movie you watched, it wasn't Fundamental Soul Winning Baptists that were playing the lead characters in those movies. And so that person might look attractive, but in reality, most likely in real life, that person, once you actually hear what's coming out of their mouth, it's like, well, I used to think your lips were attractive, but not now. I used to think you're attractive, but you're just complaining and bitter, you're ungodly. They will be unattractive to you. That's reality. And the other thing is, we don't even know what those people look like in real life anyway, because it's a movie, right? CGI or whatever, modern things. It's like, we don't even know what they look like. But point number four, and this is the one that only applies to women, is being submissive, having a submissive personality. When a lady has a submissive personality, it makes her more attractive to a guy, okay? 1 Peter 3, verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, the Bible says here that wives are to be in subjection to their own husbands. So here's the thing. When it comes to all these ladies in this room, I am not here to tell you rules for your personal life because you're not my wife. I'm not saying that men are here and women have to listen to every order that a man tells you. If a guy at our church says, hey, get me a water, it's like, get him a water and throw it in his face, right? Unless he's your husband, okay? But here's the thing. The Bible's saying that wives are to be in subjection to their own husbands, the person they're married to. And here's the thing. When a wife has that meek and quiet spirit, it actually makes them more attractive. But it is an encouraging verse to ladies that might be in that situation where maybe you love God, but your husband doesn't. Maybe you love God, and maybe your husband comes every week, but he doesn't really love God. You're reading the Bible, and he's not reading the Bible. You're excited for soul winning. He's not excited for soul winning. And so this can be an encouraging verse to ladies, because if you're actually, you know, doing what the Bible says of being in subjection to your husband, that can actually win him over to loving you more and eventually loving God more as well, based on your actions, based on your lifestyle, based on what you're doing. But you say, why is that? Because it's a very attractive feature when your wife is not trying to argue or fight with you, but is just allowing you to take the lead. As guys, we want to take the lead, right? As guys, we want to be the leaders, and the Bible teaches that. And look, I know that the world is lying to people, but in the hearts of ladies, you don't want to let Lenny lead. Right? Now, you can say whatever you want to me after the service, but in the heart of women, you actually want a guy to take the lead in your marriage. And unfortunately, the world is brainwashing women, so it makes it very difficult in 2022. But the reality is, both husband and wife will be happier with the husband taking the lead. Despite what you've heard in the media or whatever, that's the truth. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, verse number two. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Verse 3 is about physical appearance, trying to make yourself more attractive. But what it's saying is, instead of verse 3, what about doing verse 4? But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God of great price. Now look, a wife being in subjection to her husband, that is attached to being spiritual, but what we're seeing is that that actually makes a wife look more attractive when basically she's acting like a lady. You say, why is this? Because guys should be masculine, women should be feminine. When women are feminine and act like ladies, it makes them attractive. When women act like men, it's not attractive. It's not. When men act like men, it's attractive. When women act like women, it's attractive. But you know what? When you got women acting like men and men acting like women, I don't get what's wrong with people in this world. But here's the thing. If you're drawing close to God, you see exactly what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying is true. When women act feminine and like a lady, it makes them more attractive because God made a difference between men and women. They're not the same at all. There's a difference between men and women, and when ladies are acting like ladies, it makes them attractive. And part of that is the wife allowing the husband to take the lead. Because it's a masculine trait to be like the leader and authority and strength and protector, whereas with a lady, it's a feminine feature to be the follower and be in subjection. And this is a tough thing in 2022 for ladies because of the fact the world is brainwashing us. It's telling ladies, you would be much happier if you become the CEO of this company, but that's not reality. Reality is, God is right and you're wrong. Despite what you've heard in the media, despite what you've been lied to about, the reality is, husband and wife will both be happier if they fit their proper roles in a family. That's what the Bible teaches. Go to Song of Solomon chapter 5. Song of Solomon chapter 5. Song of Solomon chapter 5. Now look, your husband might be afraid to tell you that's the truth, but I'm just helping you out in case he's too afraid. Right? Your husband's going to be happier when you allow him to take the lead. Rather than basically, if he makes a decision and then you're like, well, no, we're not going to do that. It's just like eventually he's going to be like, all right, it's not worth the effort. But here's the thing. He wants to take the lead and have you just be willing to follow along and trust him to guide. That's what the Bible teaches. Point number one, being spiritual. Point two, sinning less. Point three, having a sunny personality. Point four, being submissive. And that's in reference to the ladies, not for the men. Point five is shape. Meaning being in shape, keeping, taking care of your body and your physical appearance, okay? And let me explain something to you. The first point was spiritual, okay? Nobody can be upset about that, right? But at the same time, when I'm preaching a sermon, I'm going to show everything the Bible says. I'm not afraid to preach one part of the Bible just because it's not very commonly preached in churches. I've gone to a lot of Baptist churches where they often almost make a mockery of basically staying in shape or working out as if it's like a bad thing or a sinful thing. And yet, I'm going to show you, the Bible actually mentions this when we're talking about physical appearance. It's actually not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, according to the Word of God. And it will affect your physical appearance. Notice what it says in Song of Solomon 5, verse 15. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as a cedar's. Now, when it says his legs, the word leg in the Bible is referring to your knee to your ankle. It's not referring to your waist down to your foot. It's referring to basically here. Set upon sockets of fine gold. Obviously, there's poetic language, but it mentions socket there. So it's referring to this part, and it says as a pillar of marble. Well, what is the purpose of a pillar? Support. It's supposed to be strong. Right? Marble is a very hard substance. What's she telling her husband? You've got really strong calves. That's what she's saying. Right? It's poetic language. And people, I don't find the Song of Solomon confusing. It's a book I've studied before. I think it's actually a great book that's very misunderstood. And I used to make this joke along with my friends. We would say, well, the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little, but the Bible also says bodily exercise profiteth. Right? But here's the thing. I knew I was taking that verse out of context, but actually they are as well. Bodily exercise profit little is completely out of the context of what the verse is saying. So we prove things with the Word of God, so let's look at what the Word of God says. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Now notice, that's not the end of the verse. So what does the Bible mean? But godliness is profitable unto all things. So bodily exercise profiteth little. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Then it says, having promise of the life that now is, while you're alive, and that which is to come. Here's what the Bible's saying. Godliness profits you in this life and in the life to come. Ask yourself a question. Which one does bodily exercise profit you with? This life or the one to come? This life. You don't get rewards in heaven for how much you can bench press. We understand that. But it profits you in this life, is what the verse is saying. It's not saying, hey, bodily exercise doesn't profit you much in this life. That's not what it's saying. It's actually saying, no, it does profit you in this life. And doesn't that just make common sense? I mean, keeping yourself physically fit does profit you in this life, right? Now, turn your Bible to Exodus 28. One way it profits you is the Bible shows it actually makes somebody more attractive as they take care of their body, okay? Now, part of that is exercise, and then part of that is what you eat. I understand, you know, with people's schedules, maybe you don't have time to work out all the time. But here's the thing. All of us can decide what we eat. Now, we do have ice cream coming at 1 p.m., and you have to finish that. I order you, too, because I'm the leader of this church, okay? But I'm saying we all decide what we put in our body. And look, I'm not saying, the Bible doesn't say it's a sin to eat junk food. I'm not saying that, but obviously there would be a line where you're kind of harming your body if you're not eating properly. Right? It's not a sin to eat a bowl of ice cream, but if breakfast, 2 bowls of ice cream, lunch, 2 bowls of ice cream, dinner, 2 bowls of ice cream, obviously you're destroying your body, right? Obviously things in their proper balance. But what the Bible does teach is that if you take care of your body, it will actually make you more attractive. And we see that from the Song of Solomon. And honestly, that just makes common sense, right? This is what the Bible teaches. Point number one, being spiritual. Point two, sinning less. Point three, having a sunny personality. Point four, submissive. That's a reference to ladies being in submission or being meek and quiet spirit. Point five, being in shape or trying to keep yourself in shape. Point six, sustaining your vineyard. Now, I'm using a play on words to keep this alliterated with sustaining your vineyard. What I mean is basically everything to do with your personal appearance, with taking showers, brushing your teeth, the clothing that you wear, all of those things that are kind of just grouped together here. Notice what it says in Exodus 28, verse 2. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. The garments that were put on for Aaron and the priesthood, they actually were for beauty. Look at verse 40. Exodus 28, verse 40. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. And the Bible's showing you, actually, the clothes that you wear can actually be beautiful or the opposite, right? They can actually look nice or not. The way you dress actually affects your physical appearance. You know, part of why I said that when the ladies go out soul winning at our church, you know, I look at them, I think, man, what a beautiful group of ladies. Part of it is how they're dressed. Because ladies look more attractive when they're dressed like ladies. Ladies look more attractive wearing a dress. Now, you can do whatever you want. I'm not trying to get off on a rabbit trail. I'm just saying, women look more attractive when they're wearing a dress. It's a fact. Women look more attractive wearing a dress. Women look more, you say, why is that? Because they're feminine. They're dressed like a lady. It's attractive when they're dressed like that. Now, I will say that of all the points I'm mentioning in the sermon, this is the one I would say I personally would struggle on the most in my flesh, because I really don't like to dress up naturally. And so I used to be very lazy with how I dressed, just wearing, like, you know, soccer shirts and just not trying to dress nice at all. But the reality is, the Bible does teach that the way you dress can make you look physically more attractive. Right? I mean, if somebody goes to a wedding and they're dressed nice, it's going to make them look better than if they just show up, you know, with, you know, shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops. You're going to be like, why are they dressed like that? But it actually makes them just look unattractive because of how they're dressed. Actually, dressing up for something makes you look better. Go to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying spend all your time on sustaining your vineyard, because that's an improper balance. Once again, spiritual is more important, but there's nothing wrong with trying to look nice. It's actually a good thing. And even the clothes given for the priests were to make them look more attractive. Just beautiful clothing, look nice. People look better when they dress up for stuff. I don't really like dressing up, but I have to admit that, you know what, I look better when I'm dressed professional than if I'm just dressed like a slob, right? That's the reality for all of us when you try to dress up and look nice. Isaiah 52, verse 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. And see, when a person puts on clothes that look very nice, it makes them look more attractive. Now, here's the thing. You know, we're fundamental Baptists, but sometimes people can go to too big of extremes. Like, I'm so fundamental that basically, you know what, I believe wives should make it, or women should make it a point to not draw any attention, so just wear the ugliest thing you can find. That's dumb. Guys just find the ugliest thing because we're peculiar, right? We don't want to be like the world. We don't want to stand out. Just dress as ugly as possible. That's just stupid, okay? It's like, you know what, obviously this is not the number one most important thing to make sure you're trying to look nice or whatever. Obviously, I hope that you read your Bible this morning. That's more important, and you spent time in prayer to God. But at the same time, you know what, we should try to look presentable, right? Even, and here's the thing, even in the world they would understand this, because you go to a job, they make you dress up. Right. You go to a professional company, you're not allowed to just show up wearing whatever you want. You know, they make you dress in a certain way, and you know what, it makes people look better when they're dressed up. Now, turn your Bible to Song of Solomon 4. Song of Solomon 4. I mean, there's a time and a place for everything. I mean, if you're going to the gym, you're not going to be dressed like this. When I work out, I don't wear a suit. Okay, I don't wear a tie, okay? But if you're going to go out in public and you know, trying to go to some sort of event or church or something like that, you should try to dress up. It's actually going to make you look more attractive. Song of Solomon 4, verse 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Now, once again, Be careful with giving symbolic references to animals, okay? But what's being said, thy hair is as a flock of goats, is basically just that you're taking care of your hair. Okay, that's what's being said. Thy hair is as a flock of goats. That's part of sustaining your vineyard, just kind of trying to look presentable. Thy hair is as a flock of goats. Verse 3, thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof everyone bare twins and none is barren among them. You say, what is that referring to? Well, it says which came up from the washing. A sheep is a white animal. Your teeth are white, is what the Bible's saying. Basically, you're like a sheep that's been washed, just completely white. Just saying, taking care of your teeth, taking care of your hair, just these basic things. It's just poetic language, okay? But when you break it down, which came up from the washing, your teeth are white is what is being said, okay? You're taking care of your teeth. Now, turn to 2 Samuel 14. And look, doing things like that, taking care of your teeth, taking care of your hair, another thing in Song of Solomon, taking care of, you know, talks about the ointments and the smell and things like that. Those things will actually make you look better, and we see that wisdom from the Song of Solomon. 2 Samuel 14. 2 Samuel 14. And we'll close up here, and look, I'm not preaching this sermon to say, okay, you got to care so much about your physical appearance, because honestly, it should be very secondary to how you're living a life, but isn't that the point of the sermon? Because most of this is really about how godly you are, being spiritual, not sinning, right? I mean, these things are going along with being a spiritual, godly person. That actually physically makes you more attractive. And realize that sometimes the world has the wrong perspective on things, but this is how people feel when they're serving God and, you know, wanting to serve God and draw close to God. As a guy, you're going to find ladies more attractive if they're godly ladies, if they're feminine, if they're doing these basic things the Bible says. Same thing is true for ladies. And many times people can look on the outward appearance and they can get blinded by that. But once you actually get to know the person, you realize those looks fade very quickly. And what matters is actually how spiritual they are, how godly they are. And you know, the Bible actually gives us principles how you can make yourself look more attractive and just basic things. Now, 2 Samuel 14, verse 25. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much as praised as Absalom for his beauty. And there you see a reference to a guy can be called beauty, is a term that can be given to men. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And the Bible says that Absalom was the most beautiful or the best looking because basically there was no blemish, meaning he took care of himself from his toe to his head, just sustaining his vineyard. Now here's the thing. I'm not telling you to be like Absalom. I'm just using a verse to show you that basically you will look more attractive if you sustain your vineyard according to that verse. But once again, obviously godliness is the number one thing. I don't want anyone to leave here and say, all right, I want to be the next Absalom, okay? That would be terrible, okay? But it's a reference to beauty, and it shows that when you sustain your vineyard, you take care of yourself, it actually makes you more attractive. So our 6 points are this in this sermon. Number one, being spiritual. The number one thing you can do to make yourself more attractive according to the Word of God is actually be a godly person, is to be a spiritual person, is to try to do what's right. Number two, sinning less, because sinning destroys your physical appearance. Number three, having a sunny personality, just being in a good mood. When people are in a good mood, when they're happy, when they're friendly, it makes them look more attractive. Number four, submissive. This is a reference for ladies, but basically having that meek and quiet spirit. It's a very attractive feature in ladies when they have a meek and quiet spirit. And here's the thing. If there's a guy that is, you know, looking for a partner or looking to get married, and he serves God, he loves God, and he sees a woman who's single, who's just basically the exact opposite of a meek and quiet spirit, he's not going to find her attractive. Because he's looking for someone who's going to be a godly, feminine lady. That's what the Bible teaches. Number five, shape, meaning basically exercise and what you eat, taking care of your body, and then sustaining your vineyard, which is basically like everything else, how you're dressed, taking care of your hair, your teeth, and all the basic things like that. These things will actually make you physically more attractive if you do them. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and getting to see your word on this topic. And help us all realize these things and get principles from this. And help us all try to do these things to the best of our ability. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Kunin po natin yung Tagalog po nating himnal. Punta po tayo sa page number 99. Page number 99. Page number 99, bawat hakbang. Each step I take po ito sa English po. Each step. Awitin po natin first stanza hanggang last stanza. Si Kristo ang first stanza, ready? Sing! Si Kristo ang kasama ko. Amen. We're dismissed for Happy Mother's Day.